Hello, dear listeners. God bless you. We wish you a beautiful day in God's blessings. We are here today with international evangelist Joseph Bonfort. He will be teaching about the prophetic end time. God bless you, Brother Joseph.
Lord bless you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. So, I would like to give a little overall about where we are now, prophetically, until the end, like Revelation chapter 22, new heaven and new earth. Because, you know, when we teach these things, sometimes we zoom in and we focus on a particular detail, like, I don't know, the Mark of the Beast or Resurrection Antichrist, but it's like a lot of time it's difficult for some people to get an overall vision of the whole thing. So today I'm going to try to do that, to give you an overall vision of everything from A to Z. Of course, we will not be able to zoom in too much in little things, which may be important things, which some people would like to have much more explanation. For this reason, I would encourage you to write in and get the CDs. We have CDs recorded, which you can receive them, and then you can listen over and over. You can pause, you can stop, you can open the Bible, you can double check in the Bible. And as a Bible teacher, a long time ago, I gave up any interpretations, any opinions. And I make it very clear when it's just something is my opinion, because I don't want to teach nothing else but the Bible. And 99% of what I teach is only Bible. 1% sometimes I have to put an opinion because the Bible is not clear. But I state so, I make it clear. So this is the overall, all the step by step of the whole end time. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, well, where are we now? We are now in a place in the Bible called Daniel chapter 11, verse 20. What does it talk about? It talks about a raiser of taxes. It's called Nagash in Hebrew, and which has the meaning of financial oppressor. So right now, just before the rise of the Antichrist, which is the next scripture, Daniel 11:21, there is a raiser of taxes, which will lead to the rise of the Antichrist. It says in this verse that this Nagash will collapse, will be destroyed, not in anger and not in battle. In other words, nothing to do with military. And nobody's going to be upset. It will collapse, it says, in a few days. I believe that this is the financial system that we're living today. I believe it's the international banking system, which is oppressing the world financially. Everybody's in debt, individual companies, shops, and even government. And this international banking system is pushing their lendings to countries which should not be allowed to borrow because they cannot pay back. They should be helped out of Christian love, but not lend money because they're going to sink deeper and deeper. But this international system, this international banking, which is it's owned by anonymous people who are in the dark and nobody knows who they are. They're not the little director in the bank, the people working in the bank, honest people that just working there just to get a little salary, just like a mechanic or a school teacher can do. You go to any bank, the people are nothing to do with it. We're talking about the big owners, the people in the dark who own the shares in this multinational banking system. Nobody knows who these guys are. So these people are kind of pulling the strings of the world. This is the Nagash. So when this system collapses, which I believe is going to be purposely, all right, purposely, why? Because the devil is behind everything, all right? Revelation 12, verse 9 says the devil deceives the whole world. He's behind everything, and the devil is going to destroy his own system, his own financial system. Why? Because through the present financial system, he can only control the physical body of the people, but he doesn't control their souls. The devil wants a financial system, which through the excuse of the financial system, he will try to control the souls and send people to hell with him. This new financial system we find in Revelation chapter 13, it's called the Mark of the Beast. A mark without which the people who don't have this mark, they cannot buy, they cannot sell. So it's a financial system. So why this Nagash will collapse in a few days? I believe it's going to be because the devil wants to usher, he wants to introduce into the world a new system called the Mark of the Beast, which nobody can buy nor sell. But this Mark of the Beast is not just something that they're going to try to sell it to you for. They're going to advertise the politicians, they're going to advertise and say this is to stop money laundering, to stop the drug dealer, to stop crime. No, it's not like that. This financial system based on the Mark of the Beast, it will be to control people's souls. How do we know? Because in the next chapter, Revelation 14, verse 9-13, it says that anybody who receives the mark of the beast will go to hell, burn in hell forever. How is this possible? How can you get a Visa card, a MasterCard, and go to hell? Because this, I believe, this is my opinion, is going to be the microchip. Microchip is mandatory already on animals. I believe, my opinion, will be soon mandatory on people. And people who receive this will be under the control of it. It's already experimented. They have experimented it on criminals. They don't steal anymore. They don't kill anymore. They don't rape anymore. Because this chip, microchip influences your brain and stops you from doing crimes. But microchip is also controllable. It's also radio controllable. The microchip is also programmable. You can program it so that, for example, Jesus Christ can be a crime. So I believe the microchip will be programmed by the Antichrist when it comes into power in a way that you cannot receive salvation anymore. But let's go to the next step. So first we say the Lazarus attacks, and next is the rise of the Antichrist. The rise of the Antichrist is Daniel 11, verse 21, and also 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 4. It says he opposes and exalts himself that against everything that is called God, so that he, as God, sitting in the temple of God, shows himself to be God. So this is the Antichrist again. And we'll go to the next step, the seven-year covenant. Well, the seven-year covenant will be the next step. In fact, the first major act that the Antichrist will do as soon as he gets to power, he will bring 7 years of peace in the Middle East. They will get the Muslims, the Christians, and the Jews together to make a seven-year covenant. But we see that, and here we come to the next step, he will break this covenant, he will stop the daily sacrifice, and he will place an abomination of desolations in the temple. The temple is not built yet, but it will be built. How do we know? Because the Jews cannot do daily sacrifices at the temple. So by this we know there will be a temple. Probably will be a clause in the contract, okay, that the Jews will sign the contract, recognize the Palestinian, the state, etc., on the condition they can build a temple. And so it will be allowed. They will be allowed to do it, and so the Antichrist will stop the sacrifice. And Daniel 11:31, he will place the abomination of desolation in the temple, which that brings us to the next step. Jesus talked in Matthew 24, verse 15, 16, and 21. He said, when you see the abomination of desolation, flee to the mountains, because then shall be great tribulation like never before. All right? And then Jesus says, after the tribulation, we are here, Matthew 24, now we go to verse 29. Jesus says, after the tribulation, there is the rapture. Okay, I want to say this clear, because in the previous teaching, we already taught that the rapture, we show in the Bible how surely, without mistake, the Bible shows the rapture is after the tribulation, not before. I know there are many opinion interpretations, but there are zero scripture showing that the rapture could be any other time except after the Great Tribulations. All right, so this abomination of desolations will trigger the Great Tribulations. And the Great Tribulation, because it happens according to Daniel 9:27, it happens in the middle of the week, which are 7 years. Okay, see, when you read the week, you make a covenant with many for 1 week, Daniel 9:27, that means Shabuah. In Shabuah, it's a Hebrew word which means seven. In Hebrew, to say 7 years, you say Shabuah, means seven. So, and that is also the word for week, all right? 7 days, 7 days in a week, you know, it's seven. So it's a Hebrew thing. So if some Bible translated 7 years, like, for example, the Amplified Bible, other Bible translated a week. So a week means a Shabuah. How do we know that? You can read in the book of Genesis, and you see that Shabuah, it's interchangeable. It's Genesis 29. Well, let me check it so I give you the right reference. So it's used interchangeably. It means a week and it means seven. So that's it. Genesis 29, verse 27. You can see it's in these scriptures, Shabuah and seven as interchangeable. So when the Antichrist make a covenant for a Shabuah for a week, it means 7 years. So he breaks in the middle of the 7 years, and here we have the Great Tribulations. In this period, the Christians are going to be persecuted. And here we are on the next step, the persecution against the Christian for 3.5 years. In other words, the second part of the 7 years of Great Tribulations. Christian persecuted, what's going to happen? It's happened that the faithful church will have to go in the wilderness. We see this in Revelation 11, Revelation 12, and Revelation 13. Especially Revelation 12, it talks about the church in the wilderness. We see at the verses 6 and 14 that the church is protected for exactly half a week, half of the 7 years, exactly 3.5 years. They called, it says exactly 1,260 days in Revelation 12, 6, and 3.5 years in Revelation 12, 14, which is called time, times, and half a times. In Hebrew, again, that means 3.5 years. It's the same length of the tribulation, which is clearly seen in the tribulation. The tribulation, you see a good picture of it in Revelation 13. It's all about the tribulation. And Revelation 13, verse 5, gives you the length. It says 42 months. All right. So we know that the church in the wilderness will be protected for 42 months, 3.5 years. This is the faithful church. While there is another church, that another part of the church, okay, that keeps the commandment of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ, which will be attacked by the Antichrist. Okay, the second church is the same church, but some church is faithful and God can protect it because she's obedient. Another part of the church is not so faithful and not so obedient and doesn't prepare and doesn't run and is surprised and attacked by the Antichrist, like the Jews were attacked in Germany by Hitler, the Christians were attacked by Lenin and Stalin in Russia. So we need to prepare, right? And so this church will be overcome by the Antichrist. So where do we see that? We see that in Revelation 13, verse 7. The beast will make war against the saints and shall overcome them. But the faithful church, led by the 144,000, all right, Revelation chapter 7, the 144,000 will be led in their turn by two very powerful witnesses, Revelation chapter 11, who can send fire and destroy their enemies. They can turn water into blood. They can strike the earth with plagues as many times as they want. Okay, these two witnesses, Revelation 11, are the leaders of the 144,000. These 144,000, in a time when the church will be closed and persecuted and destroyed, they will be the leader, mobile churches, mobile leadership, who will lead the world, the Christian world, in such a dark time as it will be the Great Tribulation, when true Christianity will be as illegal as Judaism was in Nazi Germany, as true Christianity was under Lenin and Stalin. All right. So these are the 144,000. So another thing, the next step that's going to happen in the Great Tribulation will be a false prophet will prepare the way for the Antichrist and his mark of the beast. We see this in Revelation 13. That he's going to have two horns of a lamb, these false prophets. We see this in Revelation 13, verse 11. All right, the horns of a lamb represent Christ, Christianity. The lamb is Jesus in the Bible. So apparently this guy is going to be some world top-level religious Christian leader who will tell the world to make an image to the beast and to receive the mark of the beast. All right? So who this leader is going to be? Well, you can pray and ask the Lord. You can make your guess like I do, but I'm not going to tell you. You can ask the Lord. I'm not going to interpret this one, okay? I mean, the Lord will tell you if you just ask the Lord. So there's going to be this leader who has so much influence in the Christian world to tell the world to take the mark of the beast. And that's why this leader, which I believe is going to be a demon in the flesh, is going to be thrown in the lake of fire to burn forever and ever. Okay? He's the false prophet. He will be thrown alive, says Revelation 19:20. He will be cast alive to burn in the lake of fire together with the beast, the Antichrist, forever and ever and ever and ever. All right, so this is the false prophet. He will prepare the way, the kind of a bad photocopy of John the Baptist, to prepare the way for the beast during the Great Tribulations. Consequences of accepting the mark of the beast. In Revelation 14, verse 9 to 13, we see that the Lord says, anyone who receives the mark of the beast or worship the beast, etc., will burn in the lake of fire forever and ever, will be tormented night and day, and they have no rest day and night who takes the mark of the beast and worship the beast. So, brethren, that will be a time, like it says in verse 13, to that they will be blessed, who from then on will die in the Lord. Amen. So that's the following step. What happened after the 3.5 years of great tribulation? Well, just you go to Matthew 24, verse 21, and then verse 29 to 31, what does it say? Then shall be great tribulations, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation, all right, Jesus said, the powers of heaven shall be shaken, great earthquake. And then after then means after the tribulation, shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then, that means after the tribulation, shall the tribes of the earth mourn. Why? Because they shall see. They shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven. In other words, they will see. It's not going to be a secret rapture. They will see. That's how they will mourn. That's how they will complain. That's how they will cry. That's how they pull their hairs. Oh my gosh, what's going on here? What's this Jesus coming from heaven? We don't believe in Jesus. And then Jesus, verse 31, he said, they shall gather together his elect from the four winds. This is the rapture. Time. When this is going to happen, it's going to happen at time. And as it is clearly repeated in three Gospels, Matthew 24, Mark 13, and Luke 21, that Jesus said in the three Gospels, says immediately after the tribulations. Now, if people want to believe in other interpretation that the rapture is before the tribulation, they can, but there is not half a scripture in the whole Bible where it says this. So be careful if you believe this, because it's not in the Bible. So what happened after the rapture? Well, while there is the Christian going to heaven, to do what in heaven? We'll see in a minute. On earth, the wrath of God is being poured out upon the people with the mark of the beast. All right, and there is a destruction of Babylon, which is the end of the wrath. All right, so the wrath of God is after the tribulation, as we see in Revelation 15, 1 and 2. What does it say? It says, I saw them who got the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, over the number of his name, and they were having the harps of God. So obviously, the wrath of God is poured after these people had the victory, the Christian, the true Christian had the victory over the mark of the beast. That can only be after the tribulation and after the rapture. So that means that the wrath of God, it comes after the rapture and not before. The rapture, we understand, we can see in Revelation in Revelation 18, chapter 17 and 18, it talks about Babylon. It's still the end of the wrath of God. The end of the wrath of God, that the seven vial, when it's poured out, this is the destruction of Babylon. Babylon is, what's Babylon? Babylon is a spirit. Spirit of materialism, which has been around, you can see Revelation 17 is riding the dragon, is riding Satan. It's a spirit of materialism, it's a woman, the mother of prostitute, it's called in the Bible, who rides the dragon, and this spirit has been around ever since, the devil has been around, okay? Basically, it's a spirit of materialism, which has been having its center, earth center, wherever the devil had the power in the world, whether it was an empire, whether it was a great religion, whether it was a big politics, the spirit of Babylon goes wherever the materialism is. Right now, it's centered in a nations, which is the most materialistic in the world, okay, and you can imagine where nation that is, which will be destroyed in an hour, in a day, will be burned with fire. All right, so that's Babylon will be destroyed. And then after that, what happens? Well, while there is the wrath of God poured on the earth, what's happening in heaven? Okay, we saw the Christians playing the harp, right? Okay, but they're going to play the harp forever now, sitting on a cloud? No. I mean, Jesus is going to be there. Would you be playing the harp? Remember, we read the Revelation 16, 1 and 2, they were playing, they were there with the harps of God. All right? So, basically, it's like after the Christians get in heaven, it's like we're not going to, what's the best thing you want to do in heaven? Okay, in heaven you want to marry Jesus, right? And that's exactly what's going to happen. While there is the wrath of God poured on the earth, okay, in heaven there is a marriage of the Lamb. In fact, in Revelations 19, 7 to 9, there is a marriage happening in heaven. And the marriage precedes, like the marriage in heaven, or the bride of Christ with Jesus, is Revelation 19, 7 to 9. That's just before Revelation 19, verse 11. What's verse 11? Is Armageddon. So basically, the church gets married with Jesus just before Armageddon. I'm giving you the chronology, okay? And you see Revelation 19, from 7 till 21, you see the marriage of the church with Jesus, followed by Armageddon. And then we see Jesus on a white horse, followed by the saints on white horses. That for sure is the bride. They just got married, right? And they come down here, and we have the battle of Armageddon, where the people of the world, like if you read in verse 19, I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. Can you imagine the Antichrist with the mark of the beast? They're going to, I don't know what kind of lies they're going to say. Oh, those are UFOs. They come here. Let's shoot. Let's send missiles, blow every atomic bomb. They're going to do nothing because that's Jesus and the resurrected saints. And then what happened? Verse 20. The beast is taken, the Antichrist, the false prophet is taken, and they are sent to their eternal habitations, the lake of fire, like we said before. That's the end of the Battle of Armageddon. So, what happened to the devil? No lake of fire for the devil. His job is not finished yet. The devil still has to go around collecting the bad weeds, collecting all his people so we can purify humanity completely. So the devil is not thrown into the lake of fire, but is in prison for 1,000 years. Okay, when is this happening? This happened just after the Battle of Armageddon. What is the timeline? This is at the end of the Battle of Armageddon. That's when the devil is being put in prison. And this is the end of Satan being the usurper, false god of this world, like we read in 2 Corinthians 4:4. The devil is in prison for 1,000 years. So thank you, Lord. Next, what's happening next? The devil is in prison. Well, the judgment seat of Christ. Revelation 20, verse 4. The saints rule with Jesus for 1,000 years. And it's a long story. Right in, I'll send you the CD. It's a wonderful, wonderful story here. Lots of scriptures. The rule of Jesus with his church and with the saints.
I have a question. Yes? Is this the white throne judgment?
The white throne judgment. No, this is the judgment seat of Christ. This is, don't mistake it with the white throne judgment where people who don't make it through that one, they go to the lake of fire with the devil and the false prophet and the Antichrist. This is the judgment seat of Christ where he talks about in Romans 14, verse 10, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 10, and Revelation 20, verse 4 is the judgment seat of Christ. This is where the crowns are being distributed. Daniel also, chapter 12, verse 2 and 3, it says, many shall resurrect, some to shame, some to everlasting life. The first resurrection. This is where the crowns are being distributed. Revelation 3:11, make sure, it says, that nobody steals your crown. He that overcomes, I will grant you to sit on my throne. We must overcome to get the crown from Jesus to become his bride. This is the judgment seat of Christ. But even if you don't get the crown here, you don't go to the lake of fire. You see, simply, you miss the boat, like you miss, you're not a virgin with oil, you're a virgin without oil, all right? This is the judgment seat of Christ. Then what happens after the 1,000 years? Satan is set free. Revelation 20, verse 7. Satan is set free, and he goes around deceiving the world again to see who follows him. Okay, and they attack the camp of the saints. What's the camp of the saints? So the camp of the saints is all the people who during the millennium got converted. All the people during the millennium, they got saved. Zechariah chapter 14, it says that that's going to be Jerusalem. Place of pilgrimage during the millennium. People have to go there and worship God. If they don't go there, God will punish. God will send plagues. Zechariah 14. Sorry, I have to go so fast. Okay, then what happened after that? Well, after that, the fire from heaven burns all the unbelievers who follow the devil to attack the camp of the saints, and then burns them all. Then there is a second resurrection after the millennium. The white throne judgment, the people who don't make it, they go to the lake of fire. And then those who make it, well, those who don't go to the lake of fire, new heaven and new earth and new Jerusalem. New heaven, it's a new earth and new Jerusalem where Jesus lives with his bride. New earth is where the people will go. People who escaped the white throne judgment, they will go there. And then the river of life, the leaves from the tree of life for the healing of the nation outside the new Jerusalem. We see in Revelation 22. Maybe we can go there. Revelation 22, verse 14 and 15, it talks about the people living outside New Jerusalem. Here, let's go there. So this is so, I have to go so fast. Oh, just right in and you'll see, these CDs are so exciting about the end time. Praise the Lord. Revelation 22, 14. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates of the city. For without what? Well, the word without here, let me finish the scripture. Without are dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, idolaters, whosoever loves and makes a lie outside New Jerusalem. The word without is the Greek word exo. Exo means literally outside the doors. Some Bible, like the Amplified Bible, says outside the city. Other Bible says without. Anyway, it means outside the New Jerusalem. That's why Revelation 22, verse 2, it says that there is the tree of life, which it has leaves for the healing of the nation. Which nation? This is Revelation 22. The people, two chapters before Revelation 20, already went to the lake of fire, who were not supposed to live anymore. So who are these people that need the healing of the leaves of the tree of life if the lake of fire, the people already were thrown in the lake of fire? These are the people who escaped the white throne judgment. The people who were not that bad to deserve to burn in hell forever. God is love, okay? Makes a distinction. These are people who are going to be healed. Healed slowly, slowly. Okay, so there is so much more to tell you. Write in, we send you the CDs, and we love you. And thank you, Jesus. It's going to be exciting. In the meanwhile, grow in Jesus. In the meanwhile, pray for the Holy Spirit. In the meanwhile, love the Lord and love the brethren, and bring a revival to your church and to your family, to your children. Now, I love you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen and amen and amen. Praise God. Hallelujah.